Larry David's appearance at the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament at Lake Tahoe became the kind of organic viral moment that no marketing team could have engineered. The Curb Your Enthusiasm creator, playing his first round at the tournament, apparently turned the entire event into what observers are calling must-see television, which tells you something about the nature of celebrity sports entertainment. Golf as a spectator sport has struggled with the perception of stiffness, and Larry David at a celebrity tournament is about as far from stiff as you can get.
Mick Jagger's interview claiming that fame damages your state of mind is both an obvious statement from one of the most famous humans alive and genuinely worth taking seriously as social commentary. Jagger is 82 years old and has been famous since before most of the world's population was born. When someone with that length of experience in extreme public attention describes it as psychologically damaging, it's worth treating as qualitative data, not just a quote. The mental health of public figures, athletes, musicians, politicians has become a serious public conversation, and Jagger's framing adds an interesting dimension from someone who has lived it for six decades.
The WNBA commissioner canceling a scheduled Dan Patrick interview amid scrutiny over Caitlin Clark is a communications decision that generated more attention than the interview would have. The questions around Clark, who has become the most commercially significant player in women's basketball's history, involve a complicated mix of legitimate sports analysis about her performance and the broader context of media attention, racial dynamics within the league, and the WNBA's strategy for capitalizing on her drawing power. Canceling media appearances tends to amplify the underlying controversy rather than contain it, and that's exactly what happened here.
The leaked Pokemon Company internal documents revealing plans to push game prices beyond $60 toward $80 based on pre-order listings are interesting because they confirm what the gaming industry has been signaling obliquely for several years. Development costs have risen substantially, and publishers are looking for price increases that they haven't been able to justify to consumers directly. The Pokemon documents show a strategy of encouraging fans to buy both versions of each dual-release game, which has always been a feature of the franchise's business model, but now appears to be an explicitly calculated revenue maximization strategy rather than just a design quirk.
Now let's do something we do periodically on this show. Genuinely pressure test one of our most confident claims. The assertion that has been most prominent in the AI coverage this week is that Chinese fake account campaigns copying OpenAI and Anthropic represent a serious, novel threat to AI credibility and information integrity. OpenAI and Anthropic both issued warnings about it. The story has been widely covered. The consensus framing is that this is dangerous and that the companies are right to be alarmed.
But let's apply some skepticism. What would need to be true for this to be less alarming than it appears? The first challenge is attribution. Attributing influence operations to Chinese state actors specifically, versus criminal actors, versus other state actors, versus independent bad actors mimicking Chinese tactics, is genuinely difficult. Both companies have strong institutional incentives to frame any influence operation as state-sponsored, because it makes them look like national security actors rather than just platforms with content moderation problems.
That's a real point. The second challenge is impact. How many people actually encountered these fake account campaigns? What did the content do? Influence operations get enormous attention in the security community and in journalism, but the actual persuasive impact of most of them, when rigorously studied, is often smaller than the alarm suggests. We know from the post-2016 research that Russian social media operations reached a lot of people, but probably changed fewer minds than the initial panic suggested.
The third assumption embedded in this story is that making AI tools the vehicle for disinformation is a new and particularly powerful technique. But content farms have been generating fake-seeming, authoritative content for years without AI. The question of whether AI specifically makes this dramatically worse or just makes it cheaper, is empirically unsettled. If we're wrong that this is a serious threat, what we'd expect to see is attribution studies finding the Chinese state connection weaker than claimed, impact research finding limited audience reach, and the disinformation proving no more effective than pre-AI content farming. The indicator to watch is whether any of the major social platforms, Meta, X, YouTube, report measurable behavioral impact from these specific campaigns in their transparency reports rather than just volume of content removed.
The honest answer is that the alarm may be proportionate, or it may be a case where the security community and AI companies are pattern matching to past threats in ways that don't quite fit the current situation. We should track the actual evidence rather than treating the warning as self-validating.